ahead for us in our service to the Lord. And we're going to read, we'll begin with verses 1 to 5 together here in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Verse 2, this is Isaiah chapter 40. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to study it together this morning. I pray that you would help us as we set out on the unknown of 2024, that you would give us this morning an opportunity for a great start as we keep our eyes on you. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your word, and I pray it would be glorified in our hearts. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons, that your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our lives, and may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you study the book of Isaiah, we had the opportunity to do that several years ago. As you study the book of Isaiah, it's a pretty sobering message. It's a message of condemnation. It's a message of hope and comfort. Throughout the book, though, there's a strong tone of judgment, God's judgment upon this people because of their rejection of the true God. In chapter 39, we're taught that the Babylonians would indeed defeat Judah and take their children captive. And it would seem that this people, Judah, was in a very dark place. We're going through some very dark days, and that there were dark days ahead. And yet God's message is always a message of hope. And as we open up chapter 40, God tells Isaiah to present this message to the people, to present the message of comfort, because my people needs comfort. You know, the Christian life isn't like America celebrating Thanksgiving one day and then trying to kill each other the next day for the biggest TV. Talking about being thankful and actually being thankful, putting that into practice, is real life. And the Christian life is real life. And God wants us to put into practice the principles of the Bible. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James is asking a simple question. He says, do you believe in God? And if you believe in God, then let that be seen in the life that you live. Let that be seen in your life each and every day. And so we notice the message from God in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people. Now Judah indeed needed to be warned, but they also needed hope. They also needed comfort in their life. And this is the message that God gave to Isaiah for Judah. He says, my people need comfort. You know, we all have hurts today. We all have burdens that we're carrying. You know, one preacher put it this way. He said, preach to broken hearts and you will never lack an audience. Preach to broken hearts and you will never lack an audience. And maybe your heart is broken today. Maybe you've tried to stand, but you keep falling. Maybe you're disappointed with life or the outcome of your life. Maybe you've lost all of the answers, and maybe you feel hopeless today. Well, I'm here to tell you that the message of God for our lives is a message of comfort and a message of hope. The comfort that God gives is real. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ye ourselves are comforted of God." This morning, I want to give you reasons for comfort. I want to give you reasons for hope. I want to lay out a blueprint for us that will help us to have a good start to 2024. Now, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture contextually, and then we're going to look at the last of the Scripture that's really the meat of the message that I have for you. So first of all, let's think about the Lord's Messiah. The Lord's Messiah. In verses 2 to verse 8, the Bible says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, if you're a Bible student this morning, you notice exactly who the Bible prophetically is talking about. The idea here of verse number 2, that Judah had received double for her iniquity, is a principle of that which is the principle of being pardoned. Their sins had been paid for, and double has the idea of folding over. And so the thought of the passage of Scripture is that the payment that was made was exactly the payment that was needed. And as we scan through the Old Testament, we see this principle displayed over and over again. In Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Bible teaches us that sin's result is death. But the hope of the new covenant is a Savior who would bear the curse of our sin upon himself. And friend, listen, that's a really good deal if we think about salvation, that God takes my wickedness and places upon him, and I take his righteousness and place it upon myself, and this is imputed unto my account. This is my declaration, I am righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God didn't just let off Judah off the hook here. His payment was the exact payment that was needed to free us from their sin and also from our sin. And the Bible teaches us this incredible principle in Romans 3, verse 26, that God remains just, and also he is the justifier of our sins by sending his son Jesus on our behalf. And so in verse number 3, we notice the Messiah presented, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You could imagine a herald announcing the coming of a king. And this is the scene in verse number 3. He comes in victory. He comes in power. He comes in strength. The road has been prepared by God himself. And of course, this is prophetic of John the Baptist, as the Bible teaches us that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, and his purpose was to announce and prepare the hearts of the people to receive the Messiah. And this was an important announcement. This was an important preparation. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And so here we find this prophetic truth that John the Baptist would be presenting the Messiah, the Savior. And as we continue in Isaiah chapter 4, we see in verse 4 that every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the idea of this scripture here is that God would build a road to bring the Messiah to his people. Now, here's an important truth for us to understand, is that the devil brings obstacles and the devil brings opposition to get to God. The devil doesn't want people to know the Messiah. The devil doesn't want to people to be saved. But God builds bridges so that humanity can come to the Lord. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible teaches us in this scripture that every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. And God built a bridge for humanity to be right with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was the prophetically the one who would come, and he would announce the coming of the Messiah as God would prepare this way for his own son to come into this world. And so here Isaiah is saying that the Messiah is presented, but also we notice the Messiah is praised. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The glory of Jesus will be revealed, and they will see God himself upon this earth. As the Bible says in John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see the Messiah praised, but also we see the Messiah perpetual. The Bible says in verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God said, cry out to this people. And John the Baptist said, what shall I cry? And God says, well, I want you to tell them, first of all, the frailty of man. The frailty of man in verse 6. We are like grass. We fade away. We wither. And the thought here, not only physical, of course, speaking of death, but also spiritual. We are sinners and we deserve death. We are separated from God. The people are like grass and they are frail, but also we see the purpose of man in verse number 7. We have life in God. As grass would move and find life by God, he breathed in our nostrils and we became a living soul, and we were created by God for a purpose. He is our creator. And we notice the permeance of God's word as we think of the purpose of man. We think of the fact that we are frail, but also we think that the fact that we need a creator, and God's message is eternal, as the Bible teaches us in the scripture, as we find the story of redemption and we find the way that we approach God is through Jesus Christ. And it's what the Apostle Peter quoted from this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And so we find in this passage of scripture, the Messiah, the Savior, prophetically would come and he would save his people from their sins. But we notice number 2 together, the Lord's majesty. The Lord's majesty. Isaiah has a message, and it is such a wonderful message that we cannot be afraid to spread it to everyone. It's such a wonderful message that it cannot be concealed. It cannot be hidden. The message of Isaiah is to stop looking at all of the problems that Judah was facing. and to start looking to the Lord in verse number 9 of our text here. To look to the Lord. John chapter 1 in verse 36, John the Baptist had the same attitude. In John chapter 1 in verse 36, the Bible says, John, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And this is Isaiah's message here, to behold the Lamb of God, to look to the Lord, to look to the Lord. There was a great philosopher named Alexander Pope who once wrote these words. He said, know then thyself, presume not God to scan, the proper study of mankind is man. And in one of his sermons, C.H. Spurgeon replied to this famous statement. This is what he said. He said, it has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. In other words, don't look to humanity. Humanism is not the answer. The Bible says the message here is to look to God. Behold the Lamb of God. The hymn writer said, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full on his wonderful face. I see, first of all, behold a coming Lord in verse number 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. God will show up. He would come to his people. He would deliver them from exile. God would come to us, and God would meet our greatest need. And this, of course, prophetic of the Lord Jesus. We see also, behold, a loving shepherd in verse number 11 of our scripture. The Bible says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are, or excuse me, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord is our shepherd, and he shall lead us. Abel is a picture of Jesus, the sacrificed shepherd. Jacob is a picture of Jesus, the working shepherd. Joseph is a picture of Jesus, the persecuted and then exalted shepherd. Moses is a picture of Jesus, the called out from Egypt shepherd. David is a picture of Jesus. He's the shepherd king. The Bible says that God would be our shepherd. He would protect and carry his lambs. Someone said to carry is kindness, but to carry in the bosom is loving kindness. The shoulders are for power and the back for force, but the bosom is the seat of love. And the Bible says that Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. He will shepherd us. Behold our shepherd, Isaiah says, but also behold the Lord over creation in verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighted the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God is so big and so great and so grand that he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. And God knows exactly how many grains of dust are on the earth. And he knows the weight of the mountains and the hills. He has numbered the hairs on our head. And he knows and has our tears in the bottle. And the Bible says he knows every sparrow that falls from the sky. God knows everything. And oftentimes our attitude is, my problems are too big for God. I'm here to tell you, your problems are not too big for the Creator God. The Bible says he is powerful. He is amazing. He is great. Behold the Lord over creation. Behold the Lord of all wisdom. In verse 13 and 14, here Isaiah tells us that God doesn't need an instructor. God doesn't need a teacher. God knows exactly how to act and respond in every situation of life. The Bible says in verse 14, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him? God's way is always perfect. And God does what is always good and what is always right. And so Isaiah says, behold the Lord of all wisdom, but also behold the Lord over all. In verses 15 to 27, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. All the glory of what this world has to offer is not compared to the glory of God. If man were to take all the wood in the mighty forest of Lebanon and they were to create a burnt offering, it would not be sufficient to sacrifice the holiness and the splendor and the glory of God. All nations compared to God and all of their riches and all of their wealth and all of their technology and all of their counsel, the Bible says that all the nations of the world combined are nothing. They are vanity compared to Almighty God. He is above all and he is over all, the Bible says. The Bible says in John 3, verse 31, and he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, 6, he said, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isaiah says, don't even get me started in verse 18 of the idols. Don't even get me started in idolatry. In verse 19, he says, the workman melted the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot, and seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. And the Bible says in response to this in verse 21 of our text, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it been not told of you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God says, you're actually going to compare me to a worthless idol? Don't you know who I am? I am the Creator. I am the God over all. Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Idols have made nothing. I am the Creator of these things. He named all of the stars, and they all obey him. They all bow to him in oblation. Verse 26, look at who created these things. It is the Lord. It is the Lord's majesty. And so we come to number three, and I'll be done. I want us to think about the Lord's might. The Lord's might. You say, Pastor Burns, I don't understand the great start stuff. Well, this really is the point I want us to understand, because as we step into 2024, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I understand that. But we do know who holds tomorrow. And I want us to know today who we serve. We serve a great God. And our God is in control. The Bible says, as Isaiah turns his attention to Judah, he's focusing on their plight. He's focusing on their problem. And he says to them, listen, God has a pathway for you. Don't say that God hasn't made a way. Don't say that God is not concerned about your situation. You say, yeah, but my problem is too big. God doesn't have time for my problem. The Bible says casting all of your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you, all of your care. And the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 28, look at what the scriptures say. Hath thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, look at this, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You see, oftentimes we like to think of God in relation to man, and we have our limitations, but God doesn't have those limitations. He never faints. He's never tired, and he knows all things. The Bible says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now here's the verse that we're all familiar with. This is Isaiah 40 to us, but there's so much more to that wonderful chapter. As Isaiah says in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let me give you a couple of thoughts, and I'll be done. Number one, he gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. The proud of heart do not receive the strength of God, but those who humble themselves and trust in him, those who have no strength. You say, Pastor Burns, I have no ability to live the Christian life. I am weak. I am powerless. I am feeble. I am frail. Then friend, you are exactly where God wants you to be. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Paul said that when he was weak, then is he strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. And so I say to you, as we begin this new year for a great start, admit your weakness this morning. Confess it to God. God will give to you what you need. And so the Bible says he gives power to the weak, but also we find continued strength when we wait upon him. Even the young men will fall. Without the Lord, our strength is small. Would you write down this passage of scripture, Proverbs 24, verse 10? The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So we humble ourselves, and we look to God. And then what? Well, we wait. To wait on the Lord is not being idle. To wait on the Lord is to serve and to live expecting that God will show up. Someone said this, to wait means to hope and to anticipate and to trust. When God is our expectation, it is a renewed strength. And the thought here that Isaiah is saying, listen, when we look to God, when God is our hope, when God is our expectation, we are putting on fresh strength as we look to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, write down this passage of scripture, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's that fresh strength that God gives to us as we keep trusting the Lord and looking to him. Now, what's the measure of strength? Verse 31. Well, the Bible says we're going to soar. We're going to soar over our problems. We're going to give, God will give us power and wisdom. And without God's strength, this is important. Without that renewing, without God's strength, we won't soar. We'll become sour. we'll become discouraged. We'll become bitter. We even become angry. Without God's strength, we won't tackle our problems in 2024. We'll crumble beneath them. And I don't want you to become sour this year. The measure of strength, the motive of strength, verse 31, what's the motive of this strength? Why does God give us the strength? Well, look what he says. He says he gives it to us to run. To run. To keep moving forward for the glory of God. Now, I want us to turn to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 12. This is the same thought. And, you know, we can debate this morning on who is the writer of Hebrews. Is it Paul? Is it Timothy? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, and that's okay. We know that God is the author of the Bible, and it's our authority for our life. But when we come to this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, it's almost like the writer of Hebrews has just read Isaiah chapter 40. And we notice the Scripture here, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." The word patience there is the idea of endurance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that no matter the problems that come into your life, you gotta endure those. You got to keep running. How do you do that? How do you keep running? Isaiah, how do you keep running? Well, the answer is in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what I've learned in the Christian life? That if I look at other Christians, if I look to even myself, I'm going to fail miserably. My success in the Christian life is keeping my eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not by my power, but by the power of the Lord. Looking unto Jesus for a renewed strength to help us to keep running for the glory of God. And as the pastor of this church, my desire is that you'll keep running in 2024. That you'll keep your eyes unto the Lord. That you'll wait upon him and you'll get that fresh renewing, that fresh strength every day, that expectation that the Creator God is on your side and that you can trust in him. God, help us to have a great start to this year. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're grateful for the opportunity that you've given to us. We're thankful for the time that we can study your word. But Lord, I pray you would help us to make good decisions with what we've heard. I pray you would help us to not only be hearers, but doers of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to look to you as we begin this new year. May you be glorified with the decisions that we make. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together for our benediction, if we could. 216 in our hymn books, 216. If you're able, let's stand together. Look to the Lamb of God, 216. Let's stand together. We'll sing it out on that first. I'll lead you. If you from sin are longing to be free, then look to the Lamb of God on the first now. If you from sin are longing to be free,